Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. In the new movie Landline, Jenny Slate and newcomer Abby Quinn play sisters Dana and Allie. Dana is engaged and feeling trapped, and Allie is a senior in high school, feeling somehow tethered and free at the same time, when she finds out that their father, Alan, played by John Turturro, is cheating on their mother, Pat, who's played by Edie Falco. The film also features Jay Duplass as Ben and Berkshire native Finn Wittrock as Nate. Set in 1995, Landline is human and hilarious, sad and sweet. Co-written by Gillian Robespierre and Elizabeth Holm and directed by Robespierre, Landline begins screening at Images Cinema in Williamstown, Massachusetts today, and Robespierre will participate in a Skype Q&A at tomorrow night's 7 p.m. showing of the film. Gillian Robespierre's first feature-length film, also co-written with Elizabeth Holm and starring Jenny Slate, Obvious Child, was released in 2014. That film focused closely on Slate's character, while Landline has a broader scope, telling more stories and building more characters. I asked Robespierre if that was intentional.
Oh, for sure. Obvious Child was my first movie, and Jenny Slate is in every frame of that movie. It's really one woman's story, and it's a slice of her life as she's struggling with being in her early 20s and unplanned pregnancies. So it really was a film that called for just one character. And we dip into other people, you know, who embody her world, her parents and her best friends and boyfriends, ex-boyfriends. But my co-writer and producer, Elizabeth Holm, and I really wanted to push ourselves as storytellers when we set out to make Landline and our next film. And we wanted to push Jenny as a performer. And so we set out to tell an ensemble story about a family struggling with divorce, infidelity, monogamy, all the fun things that humans struggle with, and also with, I think, familial relationships and how we operate inside of a family and how we get stuck in certain patterns. And sometimes it takes something like a crisis like divorce or two sisters discovering that their parents are actually humans for them to finally bond. And so it was fun to create this world and this family with Jenny Slate in mind to always be playing Dana and create a family and a bigger world around her, and to push ourselves as, like I said earlier, as storytellers, where we had to weave different narratives and set up many, many characters in the first act, which can be difficult. You don't want it to feel like you're bombarding the audience with too much information, but you have to, you know, there's four like main characters in this movie, and then they all have friends and significant others, so it was definitely like a more of a tapestry that we had to weave together. It was really fun and exciting to work with these amazing actors. I mean, dream come true to work with John Turturro and Edie Falco. They had never been in a movie before. You think they have, because they came up in 90s in New York in the indie world, and they have friends in common and they know each other off screen. So to put them on screen together was just a dream come true. And then to discover this new talent in Abby Quinn, who plays Jenny Slate's younger sister. And that was a fun role to cast, because we were looking for somebody who was unknown and who could sort of handle herself in a room with these amazing, talented actors. And when we met Abby, when we saw her tape and then met her in person, it was just, we knew she was the one. She was not just really intuitive with the words on the page, but she had this like really strong, stoic personality, but this infectious giggle. So she was both childlike and mature, all in one tiny human. So, and we were able to Google her, because it's not 1995. So right. We saw that she had this beautiful voice, and she was a singer, songwriter. She's just so talented. And luckily it all worked out, because I think the chemistry between Jenny and Abby is really the glue to this movie, and it's not something that we necessarily, you know, it was on the page that these two sisters were not, you know, the best of friends when the movie begins and they bond over the discovery of their parents' marriage failing and their dad cheating. But it really became a love story between these two sisters once we started shooting and saw that each scene that Abby and Jenny were in together just felt alive.
Allie, I revised the Michigan app. Do you want to talk through the comments with me?
Not really, because I don't want to go there.
You need to cast a wide net.
Allie doesn't want to go anywhere unless everybody wears berets and they all smoke clove cigarettes and they all make their own hummus, but they eat it out of Frisbees.
I absolutely love the dynamic between the sisters. It felt so true, and it's funny that so Abby, as the younger sister, Allie, has more confidence because she's at the very confident age of 17, and Jenny's the older sister, but she's really kind of faltering with her choices and decisions right now. So there's like a power play that's a little bit reversed as Jenny kind of follows her little sister around and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think Jenny's character is definitely struggling the most and having an existential crisis, somewhat mirroring her dad's, which she doesn't know yet, but she's just in a long-term relationship that, you know, she feels like unable to grow in. And I think that's something that is super relatable. And also being a teenager in a family as a baby where I felt like I knew everything and my parents and older siblings didn't, when in fact, you know, I was still growing and learning and probably wasn't the smartest one in my house, but that's sort of like teen confidence that we have. And sometimes we lose when we leave our nest and go at, you know, life and the world on our own. But what I love about their dynamic is exactly what you said, that there it is a little bit of Freaky Friday where you think the older sister would be the omnipotent one, but it's really this younger sister who's full of confidence and kind of the wisest soul in this house.
I also loved the humanity and dimensionality of all the characters. In a lot of movies, if the patriarch is cheating and everybody finds out, he's the bad guy, and there's no, you know, he obviously is making a hurtful choice. But in a lot of movies, he would just be, now he's evil. Like, we loved him before, but now he is evil. But you don't do that to John Turturro's character. He's faltering, and he still gets to feel it out and work on himself, too.
Yeah, and same with Jenny's character. Yeah, I feel like we really work hard, Liz and I, to not vilify any of our characters, to let them make mistakes, to let them have flaws and imperfections and blemishes that don't necessarily make them likable, but also that's not our goal. Our goal is to make our characters really three-dimensional and relatable, and sometimes, you know, you make mistakes, but that doesn't make you the bad guy. So it was definitely intentional not to judge and be judgmental of our characters. I think what happened in our lives, you know, we both, Liz and I, grew up and our parents told us that they were getting divorces when we were teenagers. And what I discovered within myself was that I wasn't judgmental of their relationship. I understood that they needed, that it wasn't about me, that it was about them. And I was very supportive and didn't pick a side, even though I could have. And I could have vilified somebody. So discovering that within yourself is really a big moment in my life, and then realizing that those are the kind of characters I want to write.
Gillian Robespierre is the co-writer and director of Landline. The film begins a week-long run at Images Cinema in Williamstown, Massachusetts today. For showtime information, visit imagescinema.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.